Welcome to The Author Show, where we present new authors and books. From fiction to self-help and everything in between, you'll find it all here. To watch the TV version of our program, visit AuthorsWebTV.com. That's AuthorsWebTV.com. And now, let the show begin with your hosts, Don McCauley and Danielle Hampson.
We are taking a walk into history today. Welcome to The Author Show. I'm Danielle Hampson. Mary Elaine Swanson is the author of a fascinating book titled John Locke, Philosopher of American Liberty. Because Mrs. Swanson is now deceased, her spokesperson is with me today to talk about the historical value of Mrs. Swanson's book. His name is Ben Gilmore. Welcome to the show, Mr. Gilmore.
Thank you so very much, Ms. Hampson.
Mary Elaine Swanson was born in 1927 and passed on in 2011. She had a distinguished career as a historical researcher, biographer, author, educator, and speaker. She wrote numerous articles on America's Christian history, and her book, The Education of James Madison, A Model for Today, won the Angel Award from Excellence in Media in Los Angeles. Mrs. Swanson wrote over 80 biographies of historians and artists. As resident scholar for American Colonial Studies at the Mayflower Institute, now the World History Institute, in Southern California for nearly a decade, she was the co-author with Marshall Foster of the best-selling book and television film, The American Covenant, The Untold Story. Let's start by situating John Locke for our audience. Who was he and when did he live?
John Locke was an Englishman. He lived in the last 75 years of the 1600s, from 1632 to 1704, which was a very stormy time in England. The Bible had recently been translated into English and was causing all sorts of turmoil about, is the king Lord or is the Lord king?
Now, what is so significant about a 17th century philosopher?
Locke was a gifted thinker. One of these guys that can write a paragraph and you'll spend the whole day meditating on that paragraph and digging new things out of it. They're so simple that it grabs you.
How is John Locke related to America's founding?
Locke's writing it simulated three revolutions. One in England, one in America, and one in France. And the American colonial founding fathers were very much influenced by Locke's writing, but even more significant than that was the influence it had over the founding preachers in America. De Tocqueville, a Frenchman that came over and to see what was going on in America, wrote that he was very impressed with this political sophistication of the man on the street. And the reason for that was that the colonial preachers had been preaching Locke's principles of government in their sermons to the congregation, so that the men on the street, the people in the congregation, were well informed and they understood the principles. So when the founding fathers came up with the Declaration and the Constitution, the people in the street understood it.
Now, how does all of that relate to Americans today?
Very much. For the last three, 4 decades, we have been, it's longer than that, I guess you'd say 3 or 4 generations. We've been drifting away from the principles that were the foundation for American society, and that would include government, churches, families, and if we're going to hope to restore our ship of state, we need to get back to those founding principles,
right.
And Locke is a great way to start.
Right. Now, you already mentioned the Declaration of Independence. Where is John Locke's influence in our Declaration of Independence?
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, as a principle of John Locke, and are endowed by their Creator, another principle of John Locke, with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Originally, the document read life, liberty, and property, which are Locke's words. Locke's position was that when God put man on earth, everything was here to support and sustain his life on earth. And so Locke's position was that men were entitled to what was necessary to support their lives, and that required not interfering with another man's life, or his liberty to gather the things he needs for life, or his property, that is, the opportunity to enjoy what was there for him for life. So all of those are Lockean principles. that were very well understood in the founding days, and we've been drifting away from them today.
Yeah, we certainly have. Now, who were the founding fathers who read Locke, and how were they influenced by him?
Well, Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson listed Locke among the three most significant men in human history. Franklin, Adams, Monroe, Madison, all quoted Locke.
And what other philosophers influenced our founders?
Well, the founding fathers, they were well-read. They knew Cicero, they knew Aristotle, they had read Montesquieu, Algernon Sidney, Blackstone. They were well-read with all of these philosophers. Locke stands out among them.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about the teaching of John Locke. So let's take two or three of his teaching. First, what did Locke teach about natural law?
Natural law is a very interesting concept and one that has caused some debate. Locke's position on natural law was that it's a law of nature that can be gained by observation and reason. Locke contended that reason was a gift to human beings from God, the ability to reason, and by observing nature and reasoning through it, we could discover the laws or the will of God. I like to illustrate, when I'm teaching natural law, I like to illustrate observation and reason with the cliche, even a dumb dog won't kiss a hot stove twice.
You're right, he won't do that.
Observation and reason. And we can discover a great deal about God's will and God's purpose by studying what we find in nature.
Yeah. Now, what about revealed law? What did Locke teach us about that?
Very significant. Revealed law, according to the early philosophers, Locke and Blackstone particularly, were the laws found only, underline that one and emphasize it, the revealed law is found only in the Holy Scriptures. The point that they made was that both natural law and revealed law came from the same source, so they would never be at odds. The revealed law, the Holy Scriptures, said the earth was round. There was a time when natural law was wrong. It said the earth was flat. The reason for that was that humans were falsely interpreting the data that they had. They looked at it, it looked flat, so they said it's flat. But they didn't have enough data. The contention was that both natural law and revealed law will always agree, and that revealed law is always superior to natural law. So if you've got a natural law that appears to disagree with the Bible, rethink your reason and your observation. You're misinterpreting the data.
Mm. Now, what about private property? What did he say about that?
That was a very interesting series. I love to teach on Locke on private property. Locke asks the question, can anything in common, everything that the Lord put on earth to support humans, it's all held in common, can anything in common be of any value to an individual if you have to get everybody else's permission before you use it? For instance, the water in the stream belongs to everybody. Anybody's welcome to go to the stream and drink. But if you take a bucket down to there and fill it up with water and put it on the shelf next to your sink, you have mixed your labor with that bucket of water. So though chemically the water in the bucket is the same, there's something in the bucket's water that isn't in the stream, and that's your labor, and your labor is your property. So anybody taking water out of that bucket is taking part of your property, and they shouldn't do that without permission. Mm. A beautiful quote from that is, "For truly, what property have I in that which another can by right take from me without my consent whenever he pleases?" How is it my property if somebody else can take it when they please? Powerful, fundamental stuff that we need to get back to.
Right. What about parental authority? That should be interesting.
Oh, of course, you remember Locke was in the days of monarchy in England.
Right.
And we men, we were the roosters in the hen house. I tell you, we were big dogs in the pack. And Locke's point was, it took both parents to create the child. So both parents should be co-equal in administering the training of the child. And that was a new idea to a lot of people.
Now, what kind of research did Mary Elaine Swanson do to get all the facts and the data to write this book?
Mary Elaine Swanson was a student of Verna Hall, Verna Hall and Rosalie Slater. And one of the characteristics of their research, and the one that she adopted and carried on, was the significance and the importance of going to original documentation. Academic collectivism is a current problem in our American culture. That is, people quoting other people. It's circular logic. If one guy makes a mistake and then somebody else quotes him as an authority, it's a circular, it's you're tasting your tail and you haven't gotten to the original documentation. Mary Elaine Swanson insisted on going to original documentation, copies of the original letters, not what somebody wrote about the letters, things like that.
Yeah.
That's what makes this book so significant. It's a powerful, powerful documentary on Locke.
Why did she decide to write it?
Because we have drifted away from our roots, and Locke is a key part of our roots. Every homeschooler, every American patriot activist should have a copy of this book in their library, and they should be reading it once or twice every year or so.
Mm. Now, you are her spokesman because she has since passed on. Why are you excited about this book?
Well, at first, I'm very honored to be her spokesman. Mary Elaine was a wonderful person. I had the opportunity of meeting her once, but I was discipled trained by the same historians that trained her. And I'm excited about the book because it's an opportunity to take us back to what we have drifted away from. I don't believe we're going to be able to repair, restore, rebuild, get our ship of state back into shape if we don't relearn and reuse the fundamental principles that inspired the founders that built this nation.
It seems to be an uphill battle, isn't it?
It all depends on whether you're looking at the half-full glass or the half-empty glass.
Right.
It's my contention that what the hand of God has done in America in illustrating biblical principles of government is not going to be permitted to be lost. I look at the historical account of Moses. God says, I'm fed up with these people. They've seen all the miracles, and they're still going to turn their back on me, so I'm going to wipe them out and start over. And Moses puts his nose in the sand and says, don't do it, God. If you do, it'll give you a bad name with the rest of the world. They'll say you're a vindictive, awful God. Well, my nose is in the rug right now saying, don't do it, God. If you let America fail, it's going to make it appear that biblical principles of government, which were first illustrated in human history, were illustrated here in North America. Don't let it fail. I hope there are enough people in prayer across the country that the hand of God will save this nation from going down the tube.
Amen to that. Now, Mr. Gilmore, you write as well, so would you tell us a little bit about your own writing activities and also the resource center that you and your wife have founded?
Well, first I should mention the Foundation for American Christian Education, which was founded by Verna Hall and Rosalie Slater. Their publications have stimulated literally hundreds or perhaps thousands of organizations like ours, ACH Study Groups. ACH Study Groups was formed 30 years ago when we first came in contact with the Foundation for American Christian Education. Acronym for that is FACE, F-A-C-E. ACH Study Groups was designed for the purpose of presenting to adults and teens the fundamental principles from which we have been drifting as our nation. Individuality, self-government, quality character, private property, local authority, liberty are all fundamental principles that are biblical, they're illustrated well in history, and they make sense. And it's our goal to present those as best we can. We've been doing it now for 30 years.
Mm. Mr. Gilmore, what is the website for your center?
ACH Study Groups, plural, ACHStudyGroups.com.
ACH Study Groups with an S?
Yes.
.com.
We have never put words to ACH. It could be American Christian History. It could be American Christian Heritage. But we found we get a lot better press if we just put ACH.
Okay. Now, back to Mrs. Swanson's book. How can readers find it?
Well, first of all, you can get it from the publisher, Nordskog Publishing. That's N-O-R-D for David, S-K-O-G, Nordskog Publishing.
I'm assuming we can also find a book on all of the online retail bookstores, such as Amazon, for example?
Yes, Amazon Publishing, Amazon.com, of course, carries it. You can also get it from most any of the bookstores. They can order it through their online ordering system.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Mr. Gilmore, I want to thank you for taking the time to come and present Mrs. Swanson's book to us. I love history, so for me, this is just a book that everybody needs to read. So thank you again for bringing this wonderful piece of work to us today.
Thank you, Mrs. Hampson, for offering us the opportunity, and I agree, it's something that ought to be on everyone's shelf in America.
You're absolutely right. Thank you again. John Locke was the fountainhead of American liberty, and he may yet prove to be the harbinger of a new day of freedom ahead. This book should be read by anyone who is deeply troubled about the direction in which America is headed. A fascinating read indeed, especially if you like history like I do. So go out and get the book today. The title again is John Locke, Philosopher of American Liberty by author Mary Elaine Swanson. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are done with today's show. And to find out more authors and their books, I invite you to visit theauthorsbookclub.com. Check that website, as many of our show guests and their books are featured right there. And if you are an author yourself, this is a good place for you to list your own book and to show it to the world. That website, again, is theauthorsbookclub.com. I'm Danielle Hampson. Thank you for listening. And please join us next time with another great author and book on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. To contact us, call toll-free 1-877-955-8800. That's 877-955-8800. Or visit theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.